over here, Dan. Good morning. W2PUT from W8FU. Traveling.
Slow right now. Actually, I heard you call. I was over around 6 meters. Black 1KDHQ. I heard you call over here. Just got onto 696 from 75. And the drive wasn't too bad until I got on 75. Then it slowed down and 696 is, I'm going 38, and I have no inclination to go faster than that.
Well, you've made good time, so should be no problem. I'm about still 20 minutes out from 2710, and I've been talking with Bruce and Mickey over on RPR-1, so they're out and about. I think I hear Paul chime in there as well, so sounds like everybody's up and moving.
Hey, yep. the DeQuinder exit. I almost took the DeQuinder exit, not because I wanted to, but because the visibility is low enough and there's enough snow on the road, I didn't, it's like, oh, this goes straight. Because you can't see anything, there's no lane markers or anything like that, it's snow covered and you're creeping along. It's like, no, I gotta move over this direction. Oh, I haven't turned my portable on to see if anybody's up on Moto Z1 yet. Usually there's not a lot of chatter on that until later. They're doing checks and stuff anyway.
Yeah, we've all got that, but I'm not sure how you guys use that one, so I'm not inclined to get out there and be chatty.
Yep. You know, honestly, on the Moto side, we almost never use it. I mean, I have used it for, we'll say, idle chit-chat with some of the other Motorolans, but by and large, you know, we usually use the cell phone. Up in the UP where coverage may be highly limited on the cellular network, you know, we've been known to jibber-jabber for quite some time amongst ourselves because I can't do it on the phone.
One thing that surprised me was it's not encrypted. Pretty surprised by that. I would have, we tend to do everything on encrypted channels just because.
Well, actually, many of us do have encryption. Two out of my three radios are encrypted, and we'll say your legacy team members all our radios are encrypted. But the one upgrade where they had to get a bunch of rentals for various reasons, they kind of got away from running encryption. It's like trying to figure out where I need to be to not be in the exit only. I think I'm far enough over. Traffic's actually getting kind of heavy-ish here. sake of interop on stuff like this, you know, we don't run encryption. There were upgrade stuff where we were doing, you know, talking like details that we didn't want public, and we did use encryption on that.
Yeah, anytime we're doing system work, we kind of go encrypted. Nobody's business. But, anyhow. Yeah, we could do it. I don't know. Yeah. Every participant today could. So, we'll probably use the bridge anyhow, like you said, far more than the Moto Z one.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that they said that they weren't going to be doing voice checks with the individual sites. It's like, all right. Well, you know, that's the easy button for us. But I'm not sure you really noticed the one, you know, Van basically said expect to be on site for about 3 hours. So, or 3.5 hours. You know, I'm almost kind of wishing that I got off at Mound and headed up to 15 Mile from there. It is really coming down here.
See, that's funny. I'm about, I don't know where you're at Mound and what, but I'm at 16 in Mound, and it's nothing. I mean, there might be just a couple of flakes here or there, but, so, very localized.
Yeah, well, I'm on 696. I didn't get off at Mound. And, you know, low visibility, we're talking quarter mile vis. As I come up to Van Dyke here, it's actually thinning out. Visibility is opening up, but man, it was getting a little unnerving because you see a lot of cars that are just kind of freestyling, and you can see them moving, like, weaving around each other. It's like, do people not understand what's going on here? So you start getting a little nervous because you're like, I don't want to be caught up in the middle of one of these, you know, ping-ponging off everybody things.
Are you going to take Van Dyke north? Is that your route?
The maps of Google is telling me to take Hoover/Shaner. So that's what I'm doing. 0.6 miles to that one.
I'd have recommended Van Dyke for where you're going, but that'll work.
Yep, I am glad that I left a little earlier than originally planned. And yeah, I was just thinking, yeah, maybe Van Dyke would have been a good choice because, I don't know, maybe there was a Timmy's open or something, I could have grabbed a cuppa. I'm of two minds about having a beverage because, well, you know, there's not... not really a great place to with the offload beverage, you know.
Need to bring a jug. But yeah, no, and you know, there's a fire station right there, but banging on their door at, you know, 5 AM is probably not the most appreciated move.
The Holiday Inn Express right here. Hell, I could have stayed here. You know, I didn't want to drive during amateur hour last night, and it really didn't hit like the way they said it was going to on the forecast. But yeah, I'm glad I left early. Wow, it is back heavy again here. Yeah, I'm sitting at the stoplight at the Michigan U before Hoover Road, and you know, what was it, 100 yards to the stoplight at Hoover, and it's, I mean, I can see the stoplight up there, just not real well.
Well, like I mentioned, I'm running 16 mile. I just passed Van Dyke and Dodge Park, which is kind of sort of where you're at. And coming up on Shaner, and yeah, nothing here, man. Roads are fairly visible. There's some spots where you can't catch the lines really well, but for the most part, the roads, the lanes are fairly well defined, easy to see. Trucks are out with the salt and, and all that, and nothing coming down right now, so got to be localized down that way. I know it was coming down when I left the house, which was down that way, but as soon as I got north a few miles, it stopped. Yep, coming up on 16 and Shaner right now. And, is it flurrying a little? I gotta look at the lights over there by the church, the funeral home. Nah, if there's anything coming down, it's just very little.
Well, I'm north on Hoover right now, and I'm kind of driving into it now. So the way the snow is falling, and you know, you get the momentary swirls where it categorize it as whiteout, because I mean you can't see the end of the hood. And then the swirling snow goes away, and you can see again. Flying along here. Yeah, if I hadn't left early, I would be it would be cutting it fine to get in the site at the appointed time. '23 was a hot mess down in the Milan area. Tell you what, man, I didn't go because I needed to sleep because of being up early. But we had 3 crashes on '23, and there's still MSP in the Brewers Sax trucks are still out trying to get 2 jackknife semis off the highway.
You know, doing that job, there's got to be a time where you just don't want to go. It's like, oh, you just, you know you're going as soon as the weather starts getting bad. You know it's just a matter of when. But you got to think when that first call comes in, it's like, oh, I don't want to go.
Yep, and I wasn't on for a duty shift, so ordinarily, if I didn't have this going, oh yeah, I'd have been out of bed and going. But, I wasn't obligated because fix not having a duty shift. Just crossed 12 mile past the hospital there, which you used to have something over there, didn't you? And the snow is thinning out really quick. So this trend continues, won't be any problem where I'm going.
I'm up to Garfield now. No snow, but the roads are a little bit tricky. They look a little persnickety, so I'm trying to be cautious. I haven't noticed anything, but they don't look real cooperative.
You know, I can tell though there's a slight white covering on the road here. The roads are wet. They definitely salted well enough. Just coming up to the 13 mile here, yeah, I can see the salt pile before they stopped at the intersection. But, yeah, my one, it was the situation where it looks wet, but it ain't. And, one of the cues I picked up on years ago, if the road looks wet and you have normal road noise and you don't have other cars to look to see if there's spray coming off their tires, it's probably wet. But if it looks wet and it is super quiet in the car, there's, like, no road noise from your tires, well, that stuff is they had the ramps closed for getting the semis out of there. It was a white knuckle ride up Carpenter Road because it was just a sheet of ice. W8FU, W2PT.
Trying to get this knucklehead. He's he like catches up to me, and then he just stops and then he's driving exactly bumper to bumper with me, one lane over. I'm like, there's nobody else on the road. The roads are tenuous at best, and he's, you know, and oh, I'm gonna go find the one guy on the road, get right next to him. What a bonehead. I moved over a lane now to put a little space between me, and he's still, now he's just content to hang right exactly, now he's just dropped back to my blind spot, though. Nobody else on the road, as far as I can see, in front of me or in back of me. Good grief.
Oh, yeah, God, those people are annoying. Or the ones that, they'll ride your bumper, and you blink, and they're like a mile behind you. You blink again, and they're back on your bumper. It's like, dude, what are you doing, dude? All right. Just crossed over 14 mile. Yeah, actually, you know, coming up, you know, Hoover here, this has really been a pretty smooth ride. I'm kind of questioning whether I should have gone Van Dyke and myself on the spot to get a cup of. Probably a little better off not, though.
Hold on, Dan. I got Van on the phone. Hold on one second. All
right, WTBUT.
All right, the ABS just pumped in the Michigan left at Grosbeck. And so lost a little pipe there, and Dan was just checking in with the obligatory thank you for taking my call.
Yes, that is something Van would say. He's also the only person I know that when he hangs up, he says farewell.
This is true. Never thought about that. So let's see, there's a 7-Eleven. It's 4:02. I'm trying to decide if I'm gonna go see if the Dunkin's open at Cass. Get myself a Dunkin'. Otherwise, I planned on being there at 4, and it's 4:02, so it's not like I have to be there at 4, but I don't want to be there later than 4:15, that's for sure.
I have a flat of water behind me, so I got that. I can at least get something to wet my whistle.
All right, Dan, I'll let you focus on getting situated. I'm just passing Comtech now, so I've got to just gonna go quickly see if Timmy's or Duncan or somebody's open and get inside. It's all dark and unopened looking here at Comtech, so. I will catch you on the bridge. Good luck.
Okie dokie, Sean. We'll catch you over on the bridge. W8FU. We're clear for now.
W8FU.
For the past hour, I've been watching the hub here just light up like a Christmas tree on the MI-1. and I hear Sean out there, and it's like, I don't know what's going on. It's probably none of my business, but 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's just crazy. W8RCY. Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, we got a job. So we're on our way to our targets. Okay, well, I don't need to know the details, but I've been up for about an hour, and I had a problem with my computer waking it up, and I had to reset everything, and I was putting the hubs back in, and I noticed that the one that you guys are on now are just blinking, 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 and I just now grabbed the radio off the charger, my one radio that can do this. It works on, works off, and lo and behold, I hear you on there. I couldn't pick out who the other gentleman was, but good morning, and I hope you guys, whatever you got to do, is not too severe. And I hope you, Sean, find a place to get a cup of coffee.
Negative. No coffee for me. So I am pulling into my stop in this morning. I've got just about 30 people all out in the field right now for what we're doing. It's a big, big lift. Just Dan and I were gabbing here. The rest of us are all over on the other communications means. All right, I'm pulling into my stop. You've been here before, in the basement, in fact. I think you took a spill. So I'm going in. Catch you a little later. I hope everything goes well as well. Where can I park? Right. How about right here? W8FU.
Well, if you're going to be down in the basement, just make sure my chalk line from when I took that tumble is, the chalk outline is still on the floor. Kind of left my splat there. All right, again, all the best today, and we'll be monitoring. W8RCY.
WQPET from W8FU.
Thank you, call Sean. W2PET.
Ah, 2702. Why did I have a feeling there'd be a dumpster fire?
I get it.
You have some sort of ANI going on your radio?
Oh, standby, sir.
Sean, were you guys successful?
All right, that should be off. I'm using my family APX8000. Every time you reprogram it with a PC, the PC defaults to on. Even though it says off in the menu, you have to go in and turn it back off in the menu.
Did you fellers have a successful morning?
Sorry, I was getting my Starbucks. Yes. Yes and yes. Let's say yes.
Yes, but
well, you know, there was some speed bumps, but it's going.
What happened? Somebody busted a couple tabs off the Cat 5 cables? Uh-huh.
We're still knee-deep in it, though, although the worst part of it's clear. Now it's just a lot of monotonous testing. But anyhow, Nah, just, you know, it was estimated to, it was slotted for 30 minutes, and, but it never takes more than 10. An hour and 10 minutes later, it came back.
So it was that long without radio communications to the, say, patrol cars?
You know we don't talk shop on the air.
Wow. Man, I can't believe that they strung them KF5 cables that short.
I don't think any of the cables were too short. There was some... I guess you could characterize it as cockpit problems in a couple of places.
Although I did hear from a few people that the tags that were supposed to be on cables were, one of them found them on the floor, another one found them stuck to the rack, not on the cables.
Yeah, you know how them Macomb County guys are. I guess the real question is, what are you going to do for fun now?
Well, I'm thinking about breakfast, but... Sean was able to leave the site he was at earlier, and I'm still with one of the sub-sites.
Oh. So you're that guy.
Yeah, sorry, I was doing a little bit of cable regressing here. Yeah. Soon enough, we'll be able to bail out of here.
I said, so you're that guy. Oh, my. It's a little chilly out here this morning.
Where do you gotta go?
Taking the semi, I'll be going to Flint to pick a load up, go down to Romulus, and then... I can load up somewhere down there. I forget. It goes up to Manistee. I don't know if that'll go today. I think so, but we'll see how the roads are.
Crazy. All right. I just got to my stop. I've got to get inside and get situated. I'll be back in here in a couple of minutes. W8FU.
Have fun. KBWSWR.
Okay, I'm going back to the listening mode here while I'm completing a couple of things. W2PUD.
We had a early morning project involving a lot of bodies out here. Everybody was on the site by 4 a.m. and we are winding down in the testing phase. Looks like most all of our heavy lifting is done for the morning. Nothing left to do but some testing and gremlin chasing, but that's pretty much been our morning here. And we have to wait for the lousy weather.
That was a very early morning. You started at 4 a.m. or you got up at 4 a.m.?
Give me a minute to switch to my notes.
Copy that. I'm just driving to be around NADDF. Okay, am I here? You are. I may be a little rough. I'm going through downtown right now, and I don't know if I got ice on my antenna or what, but it's extra bacony. Yeah, a little bacon, but or a little popcorn, really, but you're fine. No, I was on the Cisco, and every time I would hit star 99, I'm on a conference call as well for this work we're doing, and it would hear the DTMF. So I said, I better get off that in case I accidentally unmute myself over on the conference bridge. So that's why I switched over to this.
So is it about breakfast time, or what you guys got left? Or is it go home and take a nap time and then go back?
Well, I have people there's probably about 30 people involved in this. I've got people from the state. I've got people from Motorola. I've got my own people all over on this. So I can't speak to everybody, but I've told my folks they can either work their normal shift and put in for overtime, or they can flex their day and go home at noon or whatever it is, whatever it works out to. So everybody, I don't know what it depends when everybody gets back and they decide how done with it they are. So I may be shutting the whole darn place down at noon.
What a nice guy. Yeah, getting up that early and especially going out in this crap. I don't think you guys are outside, but just getting up and getting in a vehicle in this crap is that's rough. So nice guy, a lot of flex.
Yeah, it's a big ask. I got one guy coming out of Port Huron, another one coming out of Livonia. So you know it's a long haul for them unless they got a room over this side, down closer. Although my Richmond guy or my Port Huron guy went to Richmond, and I think my Livonia guy stayed the night with his folks not as far, and the rest of the guys are all not terribly far from where they had the report. But we'll see. We'll see when the guys get in here. We were supposed to be doing what we're doing right now, and now we're about an hour behind as far as testing. And they said the guys might be at the sites for 3.5 hours, so I'm guessing we'll probably be in here in the next hour or two. So we'll decide from there. But, yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, if I see you in person, I can tell you more about it, but we did, this was a pretty heavy lift. And we did a real significant upgrade to the system. Move forward into the future.
Yeah, I'd like to grab lunch with you and the guys here soon. It's been a long time. God, I feel like the last time I saw you was when I got that amp, but the last time we sat down was Jimmy D's. So I'm craving a sandwich. Love to get together soon. Yeah, I want to know more about that. That sounds pretty big scale for that many guys to be involved doing this early. So, what are you doing for the rest of the day? Then you gonna wrap and then go home, or are you gonna be there all day?
So I took tomorrow off because I still got time. I've got to burn before the end of the year, so I figured tomorrow would be good. So I'm going to. Once I know what's all going on here, I'm probably going to bag out when I got my aid in, and then I'm probably going to just call it, and then I'll be off till Monday. I got Thursday, Friday off next week, and I've still got 3 days I got to fit in there somewhere.
Keep burning them. I was going to take today off and go hunting this morning, and then my buddy texted me, and I was like, I'm not feeling so hot. I'm like, honestly, I'm totally okay with not going outside right now. It's 12 degrees, and I'd rather not go sit in deer blind. But good, yeah, keep burning that time. I wanted to take tomorrow off. We've got our corporate Christmas party, so I figured I should be in attendance of that.
Forgive me, Dakota. I got something I want to pay attention to over in the conference bridge. I'll be back. I'm sorry. I'll be right back. W8FU.
No worries at all. NADDF.
Okay, I'm back. Still there?
Yeah, I was just thinking to myself how nice it would be if I had my radio back.
So you're absolutely right. We need to get together. Anytime you want. You know where I'm at. You're always welcome here. You can asking if he just wanted to come chill out, or we could go to Jimmy D's, get the sandwich. You know where I'm at. Anytime, man. Just put it on your list. They ain't that far from where you're at. You can probably get by here, do lunch, and get back.
Yeah, we've got to be less than, I'd say probably less than 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, I mean, 10 at most. From where you're at, I don't know the best way. Probably just come straight over to Grosbeck or Cut Elizabeth South. When it comes from the Grosbeck, you just got a quick left and a right.
Yeah, for sure. You're right around the corner. We'll keep in touch next week. I'm pretty sure we're gonna start slowing down here for the interim between Christmas and then New Year's and all that. So I should have some time to sneak out and actually enjoy my lunch.
Just doing channel testing right now. Tedious. Anywho. But, yeah, what else? Oh, yeah, you saw the pictures of that little hot spot, eh? Isn't it cute?
I looked at them again last night. I've got one in my cart, just debating. But I think that's the way. My only hesitation is Verizon's pretty bad by me for the commute in. But at the same time, I'd probably just be on the air at that point. But, yeah, no, it would be nice to have a portable node. I've never had one that I actually use, so I've been heavily debating it. My Ovis bot will be here today, though, too, so looking forward to messing with that. But on the fence about another FP5, since I'm dragging my Kenwood around everywhere, and C4FM is pretty much the only thing in our area, but I don't know. It's pretty frustrated with the AC right now.
Yep. I don't blame you. And as far as the my hotspot goes, don't you have a clear node? Because I believe the board is the same. So all you could really make one of these little ones. All you'd have to do is get a Pi 0W2, switch your little hat over to that, and put your cards, move your card from one to the other. And I think you'd be pretty much get up and running. I mean, there's a small risk that the image for the 4 doesn't work, or the Pi 3 or Pi 4 doesn't work for the 0, but probably not. But if by chance it does, you can always switch it back. It's not a big deal.
I need to ask Dave, because I know he's dissected his and done some testing with it, so I'll see what the compatibility is like. But the clear node I have now is in my network cabinet, and it's basically a stationary. It's plugged in with Ethernet and stuff. It doesn't leave. It's nice because I can be pretty damn close to getting home and flip over to that. I did order another Raspberry Pi, though. I'm putting together a DigiPeter. I don't know if I told you that, but I saw it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of trying to test APRS when it's so spotty in our area. I'm gonna build my own iGate.
I'm watching my system here with a trunker as we start to get near the busy part of the morning, and you can see it just start lighting it up. It's like, hurry up with this testing, man. Get in the rush hour. Anyhow, yeah, I get it. If you've got that one dedicated to the house. Now, what I did was I got that full duplex job at the house, so I run full duplex at home. And then on the road, I just run the clear nodes. So that's the way I opted to do it. The convenience of the clear node for when I'm mobile is important, but when I'm at home, it's not so important. I've got a computer to manage it. So that was my philosophy. I didn't need the convenience of the clear node from home, because they're pricey, right? And but they're nice. They certainly are. And I do really like this clear zero. Is it a little pricey? Sure, but I like the package real well. I did have to modify it to put that battery pack on it, though. I got another battery pack coming, and Don is making me a case, so I'm going to see if I can come up with a solution. But and I've got some C4 Labs cases coming too to do my own fabrication on it.
NADVF, I had the same school of thought when I originally ordered that clear node. Greg talked me into it because he had it mobile, and he was like, it's super easy with the app. Control, flip around, whatever you got to do. And I'm like, cool, I'll get that for traveling and whatnot. And I think I just got frustrated with the hotspot situation and started using it at home more. And then I, you know, became accustomed to the ease of use, and then pulled my Shari to Anthony, which I have with me. I gotta fix that today. So, yeah, I don't know. I might get another one. I'm going to test out this open spot, though. Because if this open spot works good and the cross mode decent, how is the cross mode on that? Because if that's decent, that might get me by. That's a sweet little package. You know, built-in battery and all that. Easy to manage. So if that works, that's probably what I'll run with if I need to. But if it doesn't, I can always get my money back out of it and buy a clear zero.
Yeah, I like them both, you know. I like one for, you know, it's a shame there isn't one that does it all. The clear node's the closest thing, you know, because you can use the built-in conversion to digital. So that's the closest thing to having a one-stop shopping. And as much as I use digital, it's fine for me, but I still like my open spots. For Pro, like you got, I still, if I know I'm going to be using digital, or if I'm traveling, that absolutely goes with me, because it is very convenient. So I'm trying to come up with an all-star solution that's just as, you know, just as nicely portable, and the battery, UPS bad style batteries, and all that. And I think this Clear Zero with the little high sugar battery is as close as you get to that. So it's all good. Fun stuff.
Are you having a case printed for that to fit at all, or how are you enclosing it all? And you said you got a different battery pack coming. Is it smaller, flatter? The more I look at these pies, the more stuff that's coming out for them, the more I'm like, I need to start trying to make my own stuff, like you're saying, is tailored to me.
So the first UPS solution I found for it was a device called the Pi Sugar. Very nicely done. It sandwiches right up against the bottom of the Pi Zero. So I was able to use the C4 Labs case. I just had to remove the bottom pieces of it, so I'm exposed on the bottom. Then I was looking around on C4 Labs' website, and they actually sell a case for a very similar UPS, but not the one I got. So I ordered one of those and the case. So I'm hoping that case, along with that particular UPS solution, I'm hoping I can make all that work. Meanwhile, Don's printing me out a 3D case from Pi Sugar that works for a W-2 and their Pi Sugar, and it leaves some room in the top for something. So there's nothing specifically built for all this, but there's a couple of things coming. So I would hold off. I mean, if you want to get the Clear Zero, you know, sure, do that. But as far as buying a UPS for it, hold off, because I'll know which one and which case solution is the right one to go shortly here. Once I get everything in my hand, then I can say, okay, this is, you know, and I'll put lots of pictures up too, so you can make your own solid decision.
That's good to know there's actually options out there. A lot of times I go to try to find stuff for, you know, radio nodes and things like that, and it's homebrewed, and it's not polished. So let me know what you come up with, because I think a Clear Zero is definitely in my future. If anything, it would just go, if I don't travel with it, I can still use it as a second node to hook into, 43732, which would be awesome. So I could have dual monitor, I could have the hub and you know, FBI up, which now that I say that out loud, that's actually probably what I'm going to do, because I can't do anything from my house with an HD. So yeah, send me some pictures of that once you get it. Holding off on AHF stuff for the time being because it's freaking freezing and I don't have any coax or antennas ran.
Sorry, they were just testing a channel I was really interested in. We had a channel addition recently. I haven't seen any activity on it.
Is this all your 900 stuff or 800 stuff?
Yes, it is.
That's all P25, right?
Yes, it is. All 900 P25. But right now the engineers are going through each channel and they're cycling through and making sure the channel's working at every subsite. So just a tedious, you know, hundreds of radio checks that have to be done.
I get why you need guys at each site now. Okay.
Oh, there was actual physical work that had to be done simultaneously at 4:30 this morning. At 4:30, you know, we said, okay, now, and then there was a bunch of physical work that had to be done. So you had to have literally hands-on at all 14 locations. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's that. Plus there had to be multiple guys at a few sites, and there's people in Lansing, and you know, there might even be some out of Chicago. I'm not sure, but there's people on the network end of it. They're doing it remotely from Lansing at minimum. Anyhow, back to the other stuff. I get pulled off by the conference call here. Anyhow, as far as the node thing goes, I'll have pretty much everything I've researched in hand coming up here in the next couple of days, and hopefully by the weekend, so I can get a good idea of the direction to go. The problem is the only person that sells a hat that works with a zero that for analog, you know, / All-Star is ClearNode, and they don't sell their RF deck separately. You can only get it with a Clear Zero or a ClearNode because he uses the same form factor for all of his nodes. But so there really is no solution. I'm looking into that as well. Don and I have been talking about, you know, what if we were to take one of them white dongles and bust it out of its case? Is it physically small enough to fit in a Pi Zero footprint? I don't know, you know. So we're working some other angles as well. But it's going to be a homebrew solution, not a, you know, wouldn't be a finely honed commercial solution.
No, you're good. I know you're working. I don't know how these things come to be. Like, do these guys build these, you know, homebrew and prototype and test, and then they send them out to a manufacturer? Or, you know, are these generic components that exist in the world and they just put them together? I can't remember off the top of my head what the 818 boards look like from the Shari, but I think those also run off of the... aren't those the same footprint? They're not the same size as a Pi 4, are they?
Well, the Shari Pi hat is the size of a Pi 3 or a Pi 4 or even a Pi 5 minus the USB towers. So that whole area of the Pi from the USB towers that's the physical size of the hat. It's a typical hat size. But, you know, if you were trying to make it real small, you know, like a zero, you know, it's significant. It's twice the width of a zero. So, and there's no real case solution for that. So that's another way to do it, too. You could just get a hat from him, and, you know, and then you could put a more significant UPS battery on that. So that's another way to go. But, you know, it would be a bigger solution than the zero solution, obviously.
It's been a while since I messed with a kit for ham Shari, but now that you say that, I do kind of recall it being large. But yeah, that would be another route. I do like the footprint of that Clear Zero, though. That's, I mean, you can kind of throw that in a bag and forget about it. I don't think they get too hot either, to where you got to worry about that.
I haven't noticed anything. Oh, hold on, we're transitioning to a... Oh, no, we're okay. Anyhow, Yeah, I haven't noticed any heat issues, but I haven't really been paying close attention. I think I'm going to get Supermon running on my Clear Node, so I can use that. I don't, because, or no, does his software have that?
His app's got some pretty decent telemetry on it. It'll get you temps and things like that.
Oh, yeah, right here, CPU temperature, 45 degrees Celsius. So he's got it right here in his app. All right, I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, because mine, when it was at my old house on my desk, that thing would be, that's the clear node on a Pi 4. That thing would get up to 60 pretty quick. You know, days where it was active, that thing was, the fan was kicking on every couple minutes. Ever since I put it in my network cabinet, though, that thing hangs out below 50, so I imagine, like you're seeing, mid-40s, that should be where that thing hangs out.
Yeah, it's green, so I'll pay attention to that. It doesn't get warm to the touch or anything, and, you know, and there's not a whole lot of case between the CPU and my hand. I don't have a heat sink on it at all, so... Yeah, I'll have to just keep an eye. Well, I don't know. Maybe there is. Is there a heat sink on there? Let's see. Doesn't look like it. So anyhow, I'll keep an eye on that.
I know we're beating the node topic to death, but what are you running for? Is that off your T-Mobile cell phone, or is that off of a T-Mobile hotspot that you've got that hooked up to?
At home, I've got T-Mobile home service, so I've got the whole carrier grade NAT thing going on. And when I'm on the road, I have a T-Mobile cell phone, so it's a T-Mobile hotspot. And I have not noticed any problem at all with that. I have noticed some issues with the carrier grade NAT at home with a few things, but I've mostly mitigated that by going to a zero tier and putting them straight out on 44.net, and that's mitigated most of those problems.
I remember when I had the Verizon 5G home internet or whatever I had, same thing. I could never get the right ports open because I even called and they're like, yeah, no, there's nothing you can do. So some of the games I was playing online, I'd always have a moderate NAT type or a strict NAT type, even though I was port forwarding in the router.
Oh, my MacBook, I'm remote monitoring one of my systems, and my damn MacBook keeps going to sleep. I got to remember where to set that.
Did you end up getting a new one? I remember you were looking.
No, I got to get Anthony the specs I want. I just want, you know, I'm almost to the point now, I don't really care one way or another, just get another MacBook, as new as possible. If it's an Intel-based, all the better, but this one's getting long in the tooth. I can't upgrade it anymore, and there's things that won't run on it anymore, so it's time.
This will probably be your last Intel MacBook that you're going to be able to effectively use, because those things are even going on, what, 3 or 4 years now? Because they're on the... Well, my iPad's an M4, so I'm assuming the M4 Mac. Yeah, they have M4 Pros now. So yeah, you're getting up there with the Intels.
See, I don't understand this. My screen is absolutely turned off after a certain amount of time going to sleep, and I cannot find it. When I go to this desktop and screensaver, I don't have anything checked. It is not. Show screen saver after. Can I set that to nothing? No, I just uncheck it. But it's got a... So I'm not comfortable with where you set it. Because clearly I don't think I have it running, but yet it still goes to sleep.
It's most likely under a power setting somewhere. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and depending on what Mac OS you're on, check if there's a battery setting. It'll be in there. At least on Windows it is, too.
That's just it. I go under battery. It says battery. Turn display off after, and then I've got it slid all the way to never. It says, warning, never letting your display go to sleep may shorten its life. But it ain't. It clearly is going off. So I just prevent computer from sleeping automatically when the display is off. Okay, maybe I found it here under power adapter.
All these OSs have too many power settings to do the same thing, and they get confusing.
All right, we'll try this. Anyhow, you got to be moving along pretty good. How are the roads out there now?
They were pretty bad out by me. I'm rolling into work right now, and they're finally clearing up. But I'd say from I was in traffic pretty much the whole way until I got to Alma Fall Road.
Yeah, of course, when I came in, it was a ghost town. There was hardly anybody on the roads. But I was going on 60-mile road. It was a little dicey. You know, it wasn't bad. It's just, you know, keep your distance. Then this car comes barreling up behind me, and I figure it's going to barrel past me, right? No, it comes right up and then gets along my passenger side, and then he just locks in right alongside of me, bumper to bumper. And I'm like, really? You know, under these conditions where you can't really tell what the situation is with the road, there's nobody literally behind us for a half mile. There's nobody ahead of us for a half mile. You come barreling up, and you're going to run lock right next to me. What an idiot. So I get over one lane, and the guy still remains right there locked with me. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, what is it with this tool?
I love when people do that when it's crappy out, especially when they're riding your ass and you don't, like you said, you don't know if you're going to be able to stop or not. You're slowing down ahead of time and they're still right on you. They see brake lights. It doesn't matter. People, it's the only thing I don't like about Michigan is driving with others in the winter.
Yep, they got their head up their doofus, that's for sure. You ever see some of these videos, though, from like, mostly it's from like the Dakotas. You'll see like, you know, I-80 or I-90 in North Dakota, you know, is like a 200-car pileup, and they're just coming in like bowling balls, coming into bowling pins. It's unbelievable. You ever see one of those? I'm sure you've seen the YouTube videos.
Yeah, there was one not too long ago that was a crazy pileup. I'm trying to remember where that was. Was it in Texas when they got that snowstorm?
That would not surprise me. You know, and you can almost forgive them. They have no clue.
Yeah, there's no infrastructure to support it. I used to work with a lot of people, so my old job, our partnership was out of, where the hell was it? Somewhere in Texas. Houston, maybe? Dallas? I don't remember. But they would tell me about, they'd get, you know, a dusting or below freezing, and people are driving off the road, or work's closed, or their whole world was shut down. So this is what it's like to live in an area where you can walk around and talk on a handheld.
Yep, that's right. Infrastructure, it's the bomb. So, all right. Well, you sound like you're there, and I'm gonna tune in as we're getting toward the end of our on-air checks. We're going to start putting a lid on this project for this morning and figure out what the rest of the day looks like. Anywho, after yours, W8FU.
Yep, I'm walking in. I've been trying to bring my H2 in the office so it's not freezing in the car. I got to set up Anthony's node. So I need something to test with, but I forgot a micro SD card reader, so we'll figure that out later. All right, Sean, good talking to you. I'll catch up with you later. NADDF.
All right, catch you later, W8FU.
K8RUH, mobile. Yeah, I'm
trying to sign into it, and the password you gave me doesn't work, and then the passwords I typically use for admin in case I left it set up under that don't work. So, still trying to find my micro SD card reader, though.
What, do you take your radio into the office now?
I've been bringing my 75 in just because I don't want it sitting in the freezing cold. Too expensive of a radio to risk something stupid happening to it.
Got ya. Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I'm taking 8 Mile or taking the expressway in right now. I just left. I had to take my daughter to school. I think I'm going to roll the dice on the expressway, but it could be a costly experience. We'll see what happens. Now, look, like I said, when I get into the office at my password manager, but I'm pretty sure I gave you what it was supposed to be, so I'll look again.
I got what you there, my bad. That's what I was wondering, too, is you still have our text messages from way back when?
Probably not, because you switched phone numbers. I'll have to look.
Like I said, if not, it's not a big deal. I just need to find an SD card reader, and I think once my marketing guy gets in, he'll have one.
Will you be able to find the password on the SD card? Is that what it is? Or you'll be able to just reformat it with the SD card as opposed to getting in through the admin password?
I'm just going to have to blow it apart and start from scratch. I was thinking, since this thing's probably never been updated since I sold it, it's just super behind and needs some TLC, but if I can't get in, I just got to wipe it.
Got ya. Okay, yeah, I will look for, I'll look for that password. I'm probably, your guy will probably be in before I get settled and able to look at a password, but, I'll see what I can figure out, and yeah, there's a solid chance it needs updates. I should probably learn how to do that, and that might make my life a little bit easier rather than calling you every year and a half to get it updated.
Well, if I can get in, I can show you. If not, it's not a big deal, dude. I can set these things up pretty darn quick. But don't worry, he's marketing, so you'll probably beat him in the office. Just shoot me a text when you get there, no big deal. I'll be here. NADDF.
Alright, I'll talk to you soon.
K8RUH. W2PUT from W8FU.
John, W8FU, W2PUT.
Alright, I'm now, so I am probably about 10 to 15, about 15 minutes.
And the problem, I'm in the car where it's warm. Oh man, yeah, I didn't realize I had left my phone sitting, you know, I set it up on top of the breaker panel there, so it's the best signal. So I was walking along the shelter towards the car, and the Bluetooth starts to cut out. It's like, oh, that's right, my phone. Oh, well.
No problem, Dave. Okay,
I was the first one to check into the NCC, to leave the site. I've been sitting there with all my stuff done and packed up and stickers on, the cables redressed and everything for a while.
Let me tell you what, we missed it in the field big time. Big time.
I just wanted to come out and help on occasion again, because I like to say, you can take the guy out of the field, but you can't take the field out of the guy.
You know, I'd say amen, except for now that I've been out of the field for over 10 years, sometimes I go out into the field and I look and I go, huh? So, you wait long enough and you can't take the field out of the guy.
Well, you know, the desire to do that kind of work is tough to get rid of. I will say that, man, I left just as those the new routers were coming in, and actually swapped out a couple of them in Clinton County when I was already in the system manager position in Detroit. They pulled me in to help over there. They were in a pinch. Only time I ever really touched the SRXs. Yeah, so some of this stuff, you know, listen to them talk, it's like, wow, that's, I haven't been out of the field that long, and some of it's already, I'm left behind.
Well, anyhow, with regards to you being in your new role, I know if I have a project, I'll be happy to have you PM in it. So, I mean, I miss you as an FP, but be glad to have you as a PM.
Well, if we ever get assigned to one of your projects, I'd be more than happy to have it, too. Yeah, actually, I'm really enjoying the gig. I love it. It's a great gig. I like the flexibility, the working from home and all that stuff. And meanwhile, it's got its stresses. I'm generally feeling far less stressed doing the PM thing, which, you know, ironically, 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, if you told me I was going to wind up as a PM, you know, I just thought you were crazy.
You know, I found the biggest thing about the switch to, you know, for me was, you know, when I was on the ST side of the house, I knew what a good day's work was. It was very easy to find, you know. Something, you know, there was a mission that needed to be accomplished. Accomplish the mission, job well done, thumbs up, go home, you know. And when it wasn't, you knew when things were broke, you knew when things were right, you knew when you did things. You know, it was very easy to figure out your wins and figure out your... It became much more difficult when I moved into the role I'm now. But I don't do as... But, you know, we were very similar in that side as far as what our daily missions were. You know, here, mine's a little different than yours. And, you know, and when I got to say, when I had PM jobs, you know, when I do that part of my job, that, you know, the job well done point is very easy to define. And it wasn't until I got a few of those done. Like, in fact, the whole second dispatch center, you know, that was one of my first ones where I said, ah, that's a good day. That's what a good day looks like. And, you know, but it was harder to define what a good day was when I moved into this role. But I got to do a lot of stuff that, you know, you don't have to do, which makes it very hard to tell what a good day is.
Well, I will say that there are days where, you know, you've worked all day, you know you've been busy, you've been dealing with a bunch of stuff, and 3:30, 4 o'clock rolls around, you sit back and you're like, what the hell did I even accomplish today? It doesn't feel like you did anything worthwhile, but, you know, it is nice when you finally see a dispatch center come live or an ASR site or, you know, whatever come online and people start using it. Yeah, there's that success point. You know, one thing I kind of suspected about this gig, but, you know, until I really saw it, and hadn't given it a lot of thought. After you hit that point, there's always tiny little details, little odds and ends that it just lingers on forever. I've had projects that, you know, they were live for several months. And there's still some tiny little detail that you're waiting on someone else. You can't close out the project because you didn't get an invoice from these guys, or, you know, it's just some dumb thing you're waiting for. You know, it's like a sliver. It's just sitting there irritating you. You can't get rid of it.
Oh, tell me about it. Those are the worst. You just gotta, you know, there's... I guess if you, a good day for, you know, on your side of the house now would be when everything goes really smooth and uneventfully at an actual turnup. And, you know, you can sit back and smile, so you have no idea what it took to make this smooth. But it was, and you can go, ah, I did that.
Yeah, and actually, my background has honestly helped quite a bit with some of this stuff. But, you know, you talk about smooth go lives. When we brought Isabella's ASR site live, was it 3-4 weeks ago now? To the end user, it was smooth. They just suddenly had coverage where they never had coverage before, and everybody's happy. Site went wide area. Life's good. And it wasn't, I don't know, it was 3 minutes after the site went live, my phone rings at CNCC. They're like, hey, did you know that there's a PA failure alarm on channel 1? It's like, no, I was unaware of that. They're like, oh, and it's showing a link B failure on channel 7? I'm like, nope, didn't know about that either. You know, it's just, neither of those things showed up until we brought it live. I mean, we had the thing coverage tested, you know, I think coverage testing was like 2 or 3 weeks before that. But, you know, it figures ready to turn up. But, you know, it got dealt with swiftly.
Are you still monitoring the conference bridge?
I am not, because I'm sure my phone is, but inside the car I'm out of Bluetooth range of the phone, and I ain't standing outside in this cold.
Okay, I got it going in the background here, so if anything comes up, I'll relay or speak for you, but I think you've been cleared to, you've been given the green light to split, so should be no problem. I know Eileen's working with them right now on something I'm not quite following.
Oh, yeah, if I hadn't left my phone in the building, I would still be listening in on the bridge. But yeah, man, as soon as the van gave us the all clear, I was on my feet. I had already carried my tools and stuff out to the car. I was on the order wear to the NCC, like, right away.
I don't mean to rub it in, but 6 a.m., I was getting coffee at Starbucks and heading for the shop, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking a couple would be great, and actually I'm thinking breakfast would be awesome. What are your thoughts on breakfast?
Let's do it. Anyhow, I'm going to be turning on to 15 here in a second, so that puts me just a few minutes out.
Awesome. Well, you know, since I'm not real familiar with the area, I will let you pick the place.
Well, I got to tune in here. They're talking about some sort of risky test they want to run. They're talking about how much traffic is currently on the system, whether they should do it or not. I might have to chime in. They'll be in a few.
Yeah, I figured you'd probably had something you were listening to there. All right, W2PUT.
W8EAT.
What's going on, Eric? NADVS.
Not that much. Just on the way to the salt mine.
Yeah, the roads were pretty white when I was coming in.
Well, looks like we just got a dusting. Just a very light dusting where I'm at.
Yeah, we didn't get much snow either, but they threw a ton of salt down.
They should have a lot of it left over from the last year or two. Didn't use much last year, I don't think. But, very good. Are you on the way to work, or? I usually don't hear you out there in the morning.
No, I'm sitting in my office right now. I brought my HP and just for giggles. I don't like leaving it in the truck right now because it's so damn cold. But just had it monitoring and heard you, so I was like, you know what, I'll say hi to Eric. It's been a minute.
You're at home on an HT, you said?
Yeah, I've got my 75 with me.
One thing I was amazed when I got into my car and turned my radio on, the LCD wasn't sluggish or anything. I mean, everything was it was like 11 or 12 degrees had no effect on my LCD. Usually you turn it on and you got like the LCD is sluggish sometimes, but not on this radio. Maybe it does when you get about 8 degrees, I don't know.
I remember that on my 200 last winter, I'd go get in the car and the thing would, you know, you'd go to scan and it just didn't move.
Yep. Traffic isn't too bad today. A little bit lighter than normal. I think the kids might have a school across the street. It looks like I didn't notice any vehicles there. Well, either there's a state police Suburban behind me or an ex-police Suburban. I can't tell. It's a retired cop car or a real one.
Anyhow,
any word on your radio?
Word on your mind, and I got to start over.
Was it STM 500?
I double with you. What'd you say?
Sorry, I said any word on the STM 500?
Nope, I tried calling them yesterday, couldn't get through, and I emailed the girl I've been dealing with, and she hasn't replied, so pretty frustrated. It's been 3 weeks now.
That time flies, and you're having a good time. Did you have a DB20G for a minute? It wouldn't be a bad idea to have one of those as a spare, just in case, you know, for another vehicle or... in case your radio's in the shop or something. Was it you that had a DB20G?
I did, very briefly, and then I returned it, because that was when I was running I bought it for GMRS, so I was running two radios in the car. I was like, you know what, I'm going to just take apart the 200. So then I returned it. But I have a VTEC amp, so I can run any HD I want in my truck, which is what I've been doing. So it's kind of cool. It's flexible. Do whatever radio. I get 40 watts out of it. So that's what I've been using.
I think I remember that VTEC. Doesn't it have a microphone jack on it, on the front of it or something, and a speaker inside of it? Is that that weird one that actually you can plug in a, there's a certain HT that they made that could actually plug it right into there, and the microphone and the speaker or in the amplifier? Is that a different one?
Yep, that's the one. It comes with a mic that's got the RJ45 on it, and then it comes with a K connector control cable. So there's a couple different ways you can do it. I'm just running RF into the amp, and then I use my Kenwood speaker mic and my THC75. So it's got a BNC connector going to it's a BNC out, that's right. So it's BNC out to the radio, or in, I should say. And then it's 259 out to the antenna.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of a cool idea. I didn't understand it at first. Yep. Is it a dual band, or is it just UHF? I don't know if they made a separate one, UHF, VHF, or...
It is not dual band, so you get 30 to 40 out depending on how much you put in. I think it's up to 6 watts. I have the just standard one. It was like $130. It'll do all modes except for DMR, or no. It'll do all modes except for D-Star. I can't remember. It does fusion, I know that. And it does, pretty sure it does DMR. There's a digital one, but I can't remember what mode it gives you. I think it's D-Star.
That's a pretty cool deal, actually, and it's not a bad price. If I ever see one of those dip to $99 or something, I think they go on sale once in a while. I might grab one of those. Use it with one of my multiple HTs. But I got the 2DB20Gs. It's just as easy to hook that up. Won't get the 40 watts out, but I've never really needed the 40 watts around here. I mean, I could hit all the repeaters on 10 watts, but where you're at, you probably need the extra power.
Not going to lie, I've been pretty impressed with it. No one's really noticed the difference between a mobile versus I'm on a HT with an amp, so it's been working really good. I know that 2x4 has a lot to do with it, but I've been a big fan. For the money, it's hard to beat, and like I said, you can grab whatever freaking radio you want and pump out some power. I usually just run 2.5 watts into it, and it gets me out just fine from my house to here.
WEAP. Yep, well, during the week, I don't even run the 2x4. I just run that little stubby antenna, short antenna, I should say. I can get into, you know, the repeaters around here just fine with that. But when I go up north, I'll put the big antenna on when I get up there. or sometimes I leave it up there. Just got to remember. I could make it through most, like, drive-thrus, but sometimes I got to remember to take it off.
I was using that little stubby camera for a while. When they brought a mag mount, it worked good, but then when I took a big pocket mount on, I don't think that would do a whole lot, because it's stuck behind the cab, so I got to keep it on all the time. Take it off the car washes and stuff like that.
Actually, this antenna that I'm running now is about 20 inches tall, and it looks just like a 2x4. It's just a miniature version of the 2x4, and it gets a good match everywhere, and they're cheap. They're only $20, and they work everywhere. They match everywhere. That's what I've been using mostly.
Yeah, you're being boo.
It's got, you know, it's got the coil in it, and it's got the little air coil. But amazingly, it matches really good on everywhere I go. It seems to be as wide-banded as the 2x4, believe it or not. And if I were to switch it over right now, you wouldn't be able to tell. Like I said, when I'm up north and the repeaters are farther away and I'm talking into my... I use my All-Star node as kind of like a local repeater up there, as you probably heard.
No, that's a good idea. I was talking to Sean this morning. I'm thinking about doing another node at the house, so I have one tied into the FBI network and then another one to the hub, rather than having to flip back and forth. So I think I'm going to pick up another node and set that up.
Well, if you don't need it to transmit, you don't even need a dongle. Just plug a USB fob into your Raspberry Pi, and then just plug a set of speakers into it. Set of computer speakers.
Yeah, I ordered another Raspberry Pi. It showed up yesterday. I'm setting up an iGate, so I'll try to get that rolling. I gotta bounce. I'll be right back. NADS.
Perfect timing. I got a bounce here. I guess just about pulling into work. So, catch you later on. WAEAP. NAKPP.
Freezing.
Sorry about that. Didn't have my volume up. Who's this, Sean?
Wolf.
Whoa, that's an interesting call sign. So, I'm
on my little 5-minute drive to the office. How's things going?
I am cold. I just got in the van now. I'm waiting for it to warm up.
No, very good. Yeah, I left mine run. I can do it with my cell phone. So for some reason, they never turned that application off, which is great. So, but I think this car was a factory rep's car from Ford one time, so I think they still got it as far as all the little remote features. Those are all still turned on, and I don't pay for them, so I'll knock on wood on my head and make sure they don't turn them off, because it is cool.
It's actually a standard feature, because I have it on my work van here. Well, I get on my other one. This one, it's got a recall for the BCM, so I literally have to go to Ford and have them update it so the remote start would work.
Okay, I did not know that it was standard. So, yeah, it's a 2019 Ford Escape, and all the little remote functions still work pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the 2023 Transit Connect, and like I said, as I had it on my 2020, but for some reason it didn't get programmed into this one, so I'm going to make an appointment to have the recall taken care of.
Very good. Well, they got lots and lots of salt on the road, and my little display in my dashboard shows 16 degrees. They said it was going to get super, super cold, and it did. So, I feel sorry for my boys at the west end of the state and that little fire department that I help out with on once in a while. They had a plant fire last night and a house fire this morning. So they got to be dragging. I was listening to it. It got pretty exciting. Coca-Cola, they had a forklift catch on fire on them over there inside the building and caught the building on fire. And then they had a house fire this morning at 5:30. So I was trying to call my buddies, and none of them are answering their phones. So I'm sure they're either busy or sleeping.
Well, I hope everybody is okay, and probably the house fire was a space heater.
Yeah, well, over there, I don't want to say any swear words, but a lot of dumb stuff happens over there. So, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, there's natural gas is in every house, because it's a lot of rural communities, and a lot of people do wood burners and space heaters and kerosene heaters and all sorts of other things, you know, and I got it. You got to keep warm and everything else like that, but they just have a lot of stupid fires over there, and it's like, it's not a good thing, but it is what it is when you live in rural America.
Hey, Wally.
Hey, go ahead.
The life of the more rural firefighter. I've got one following me right now. He's probably chuckling as you're talking here. What's up, guys? Is that Tom? Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. There's a small talk, and I'm on my final approach to work. But yeah, those guys had a pretty exciting night. So I was trying to call my captain buddy, and he hasn't answered his phone yet to make sure he's okay. I had one guy cut his hand, and another guy was smoke inhalation, so I just wanted to make sure it wasn't him.
Morning, Sean. Yeah, I'm just sitting out here on my little park cart, waiting for the windshield to defrost. So, we're going to have to sit here and chat on the radio for a little bit.
Hey, there you go. Hey, Dan, you still here? You good with, you know where Ryan is? We're about another mile and a half. And then we'll turn left. I'm sure it's up there. I'm following you. We'll get there. WPG. All right, yeah, just about another mile and a quarter, mile and a half, mile and a quarter, we'll turn left, and then it's
couple miles down. It's all pretty much on your path home. All right, anyhow, guys, Wally, go ahead. I just wanted to touch base with Dan as we're heading somewhere here. And my phone's ringing.
Yeah, very good. Well, I hope you guys are having fun or working and enjoying your job, because that's part of the reason we work, supposed to enjoy it. So you guys all be good. My phone's ringing now. Sean, you created a thing. Dan, go ahead, and then the next one would be Tom. So I got to get out of here, as you can hear. And AKPP.
Okay, well, good morning, gentlemen. Nice to make you guys acquaintance. Yeah, we're heading on to breakfast. I was at the same old dark 30 thing here with Sean this morning. I had to be out rolling a little earlier, though. I live down at Milan, so I was up about 2 o'clock and out the door at 2:30. Had some pretty dicey roads getting up here, though. Especially around Milan. Well, around Milan, we didn't have much snow, but it was, snotty marble. It was a skating rink there, and there was a couple of jackknife semis that they were, still hadn't gotten out of the roadway there. It was snowing pretty heavy up on 696 when I got close to the area here. WTPT.
Hey, CK Joe. Yeah, I was watching it last night with the squall warnings. I looked outside and making sure that my inflatables were still attached to my lawn. And I haven't even started work yet. I don't start till 10, but I'm trying to get out of here. But keep going when you got a windshield full of ice. And I'm glad that you made it up safe. Was it really bad down there? You got more snow than we did up here?
Actually, no, there's more snow here. Let me bring up the camera and see what if I got any more since I left. We had very little there, but it was just enough that, you know, when the roads glaze over and turn into a sheet of ice, that's what we had down there. It was weird because south of I-94, you know, it was all that ice. I think there was a line that came through north of 94 because, you know, on Google Maps it was showing 23 and 14 is slow going. That was at 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know, by the time I hit I-94, 94 was pretty much smooth sailing all the way across. I took 75 up to 696, and shortly after I got onto 75, it started going downhill. And it must have been a narrow band because, you know, it got real heavy on about a mile and a half, 2 miles from 696, and, you know, coming across, there was times that it was a little scary because you couldn't really see where you were going. But once I got north of 696 on Hoover, you know, by the time I crossed, like, 13 or 14 mile, it was, you know, basically nothing.
Yeah, I live up here in Memphis, so the roads are a little slick down my street, even though Scott salted for me, you know, past the house and everything. Found it, but still a little slick. Hopefully the roads are better. So I got to head out to Ypsilanti.
Well, good luck with that. And, you know, I was through the Ypsilanti area. I'm assuming you'll probably, since you're up in Memphis, drop down to 94 and take that across. I'm not sure what it's like around the Roseville area, because earlier, at O-Dark 30, I was debating upon whether I should take 75 or just 94 out to 696, and it was looking pretty bad over there. But, you know, I would think that the highway has probably been salted and maintained well enough that, you know, you should have a pretty smooth ride, you know, going across there, you know, all the way to Ypsi.
I hope so. So you're working with Sean today on a project. I hope it's inside.
Yes, it was inside, but, you know, you got to go through the outside to get to the inside. My goodness, that wind chill is just piercing. And the temperature gets around the dashboard showing 12 degrees here. And I believe it. I have no trouble believing that number. But, yeah, I used to be a tech in the field with Motorola. I still work for Motorola, but I've moved out of the field and into project management. And every now and again, I get to come out in the field when there's an upgrade going where they need a lot of bodies to do various things. So I enjoy doing that. You know, you can take the guy out of the field, but you can't take the field out of the guy.
Yeah, I'm a field tech for GCI, so don't agree with that one. I can't sit still. If I sit at home, I got to be doing something, you know, electronic-wise, more or less, or just sit there and watch TV. All depends on my mood for the day. All right, I'm going to get gas so I can actually start making my way to Gypsy. So stay safe, try to stay warm, and I hope you have a quiet day. KGO.
All right, man, I hope you have a safe ride out to Ipsy. And that's a long haul from Memphis. Did a couple of service calls up there back in the day when I used to work for the state. When the MDOT still, was it MDOT? Yeah, the MDOT had that old tower out there. They dropped that thing years ago, but I had to make a couple of runs out there to work on the old PHM stuff. Take care. WTP-UT Mobile.
All right, Dan, next light, we turn right, and then immediate left. We're there.
Ah, my stomach is overjoyed to hear that.
I almost changed my mind and said, you know what, let's make a right back there and just go to Bob Evans right by the freeway, and it'll be easy on the freeway for you.
Oh, I'd rather go to a locally owned mom-and-pop place than a chain restaurant any day. And yeah, and honestly, I'm not really, well, it's getting late enough that we're getting past rush hour. Not really in a hurry.
Oh, man. Are they not open?
It doesn't look like it.
Don't open till 9. How could a breakfast place not open till 9? All right, I know another one.
Well, 9 minutes is only a little away. It's up to you.
Go around back and see if anybody's even starting to open up.
All right, well, I'll pause here. WTPUT.
Yeah, it looks like they're in there, so it's up to you if you want to wait here for, I got 12 minutes.
Well, if you got the time, I got the time.
All righty then, we'll do that.
That cold. I saw somebody driving them with a Wrangler with a top down. Maybe.
Are you serious? Somebody was driving with a top down?
On the freeway. I'm going to the park garage. Maybe one.
Can you?
KEATFM.
KCKKO.
Good morning. I don't recognize the call. This is Damien from Shelby Township.
We talked before. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Cujo.
Ah, yes, okay. Well, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm heading to the office in Auburn Hills on this cold and blustery day.
Yeah, my day's about to be worse. I gotta go to the dentist. That's where I'm going. I had a small cavity and a cleaning to do, so yeah. Not looking forward to it. I gotta get it done.
Do you think that's bad? Wait till you get periodontal maintenance when you're over 50.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to avoid is all the fun stuff that comes later, so not putting it off. But I still don't like dentists. I can definitely do without these appointments. Luckily, I haven't had many issues. I mean, I think my whole life I've had maybe 4 cavities, I think. Not a lot, so at least it hasn't been so bad.
Knock on wood, I have not experienced that situation. But when you get over 50, they're like, oh, you need the deep cleaning. And they do it in portions. Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, I skipped one, and they have that water jet thing, and they got to go a little bit more aggressive. It's definitely not fun. But at least it's a nice day today. I got to go drive out to Oxford after this to a customer of mine, and then I have my radio in the car with me, and I'm going to see if I can sneak the Bald Mountain and do a quick POTA activation while I'm out there. I don't know if it'll work out, but I figure it's sunny, so at least the gear's in the car, so I have the option.
Well, there you go. Now I'm just going to the office because my work page is empty. So it's kind of quiet. Usually in the winter months, it gets a little bit quieter. But, you know, I still like when I have something on my page for the day.
Yeah, this tends to be the busy month for me. So I'm actually surprisingly loaded up with lots of stuff to do. But I can't really start the bulk of the work because I'm waiting on material to come in. So it's, this tends to be a little bit chaotic for me. All the automotive engineers want their stuff kicked off so when they come back in January, it's ready to go. So that's pretty typical every year.
That's a drawback of ordering parts. You know, it takes forever for things to come in. I'm waiting for a special type of battery from one of my vendors, and they're like, oh, it's been pushed out to March next year. And so my customer's like, hey, what's going on with the batteries for these, you know, for these controllers? I'm like, the special order batteries won't be in until next year. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, knock on wood, I haven't had any issues getting the material. It's so far it's been pretty good for me, but I did have I actually did have that happen. I had a connector I ordered, and they pushed it out till March, so the customer let me change things in another direction to keep things moving, so that was good. But I hate when I kick stuff off, buy a bunch of material, and then one part holds me up, and it's all just sitting there waiting. So at least they let me change, but overall, all the electronic shortages and that, they at least haven't hit me too much, so it's been pretty good.
Yeah, at least yours is easy to get. Mine, it's waiting for purchase orders and supply. I mean, even from some of my manufacturers that are part of my company, they're like, oh, yeah, that's on a two-month backlog. Like, really?
All right. Well, I'm pulling up, so I'm going to let you go and go tough this out like a man, get this done. So you enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe, and, I'm sure we'll talk again. This is KE8-TFM. I will be clear on your final.
Is it CFM, Charlie Foxtrot, Mike, or is it Tango Foxtrot, Mike?
Tango Foxtrot, Mike.
Okay, TFM, 73, stay warm, don't work too hard, drive safe, be careful. KCKGO.
It's a race against the clock. Well, not so much the clock.
Just
It's a little bit of a snafu that caused it to run a little longer than anticipated. And, you know, and when it comes to outages and downtimes and things like that, the minutes are excruciating. But other than that, other than being a little longer than we had anticipated, went pretty well, and it's all done at this point. A couple of tiny little punch list items, but for the most part, all done. So we got a major, major thing accomplished.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, like last night, you heard me talking a little earlier, for my friends on the west side of the state, they had a hopping night. So, it was, take this, a forklift. I want a battery-powered forklift plugged into a charger, and the battery's caught on fire. Now, that's the first one I've seen of that ever happening. But it was quite exciting for them for a little while.
Hey, man, are you pulling an FU? I hear your chimes.
What am I doing?
Drive without your seatbelt.
Yeah. I thought maybe I was doing something wrong on the radio, like not holding the button in hard enough or something. I am driving without my seatbelt. Yep. You better call New Baltimore. Give me a $50 ticket. I don't know how big those tickets are nowadays anyway.
Yeah, no, I do that all the time. People always crab because they hear my seatbelt chime going off while I'm driving. All right, anyhow, the son just hopped in the car. I'm going to figure out what our plans are and go from there. I'll catch you in a bit. NAKPP from W8FU.
Very good. Be safe. Have a good one. I'll give you a call when I'm going to head down towards Warren. NAKPP.
Well, we are running out to Dearborn right now. And, I mean, I don't know how long it'll be, but, so, yeah, give me a call. I'll be listening here the whole time, so. Except for when we're out at our destination. So I'll catch you. Let me get a few.
Keep warm. N-A-K-B-B.
I'm going to Grand Rapids. K-K-K Joe. On the route. For a while.
KJEH testing. KJEH listening.
KJEH M1KRD. How are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, N1KRD, KJEH. My name's Jim, Juliet India Mike. I'm doing all right this afternoon. I'm taking a break from work, working from home today. Figured I'd turn on the radio and tool around. A friend of mine told me about this repeater, so I figured I'd go do some research on it, look it up, and listen to it for a bit. So that's where we're at now. How about you?
Yeah, similar situation. I was working from home and popped out of the house, but I got my computer with me here in the car, so I'm doing a little bit of work, and I got a little bit of time before I got to pick my son up from school. I think there's a few linked on this system, so which repeater are you coming into?
Yeah, I'm hitting the UMP one, KC8UMP. I believe it's around the Macomb County Jail or somewhere in that area. I'm out here like 21 and 94, so it's only a stone's throw away from me.
Okay, yeah, I'm on the K8FBI, 442.6. I'm over here in Berkeley, near 12 Mile and Greenfield at the moment.
Yeah, I got you there. Yeah, the FBI repeater over that way. Yeah, so far seems like a rock solid thing. My daughter doesn't get out of school for a while, but she'll be riding the bus home, so I don't have to worry about that. Do we know how these are linked? Are they just Echolink linked, All-Star? You know, what other information do you have on the system? I don't really have much.
Good question there. I know some of them are on All-Star. I've been on this one, the FBI has got an All-Star node, as well as there's another 442.5 in West Bloomfield has got an All-Star as well. I'm not sure about the others. So some internet linking. There is a system on, as well as they're linking some via microwave, I believe. But I don't really know the details on all the back end.
NADBF.
Yeah, NADBF, good.
Breaking station, that might be Dakota. Go ahead over there.
Jim, to answer your question, there's really two networks here. There's the SEMA network, and then the K8FBI network. K8FBI is more southern, and then you get up into the northern repeaters up by Holly and Flint and all that stuff. I just sent you a link to the bubble chart. It'll give you a better idea how they're all linked in, but it is all backhauled with All-Star.
Yeah, real good, real good. I'll take a look at that link there, and real curious to see how they are linked up.
Matt says, why aren't you fixing my signatures?
I gave you the knowledge bases. Come on.
What I'm worried about is I don't see anything that's going to get around the client-side little thing they want us to install in Outlook. Why can't we do it from the server level?
I thought one of those had a server-side. I could be mistaken. I haven't read through them as heavily as I probably could have, but I thought one of them was server-side. Go ahead.
There is, and we've followed the steps and must be completely missed something, but basically all it tells you to do is enable the ability to synchronize disabled accounts, which we've done and then been syncing, but a lot of these shared mailboxes. So that's what I'm confused about, too, is we have shared mailbox and then we have delegated user mailboxes. Those shouldn't be an issue. The main focus is these shared inboxes.
Well, that sounds fun. Do we need to open up a ticket with the support piece over there? And I'm not sure if N1KRD, I didn't get a name on that gentleman, if he's still around or not, but let me know if we need to open up anything and we'll send it over.
Yeah, let's open one up so I don't have to harass you. I can harass them.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
All right, I'm going to clear out and get back to work. I will, I'll talk to you in a bit here on, I'm sure, Teams. NADBF, clear viewers.
Yeah, that sounds good, Dakota. N1KRD, you still around? K2EH.
Yeah, I am. Name here is Nick. That's actually decent time because I got a call on my end, so I was kind of dealing with some other stuff. But, yeah, name here is Nick. By the way, I'm around here for a little while, like I said before, I got to pick up my son from school.
Yeah, real good. Dakota, I work with Dakota, kind of. We co-manage their IT infrastructure over there where he works, and that was pretty much all work talk. And one of the guys that he works with, I used to work with, and he's hitting me on Teams. Hey, I want to talk. It's kind of funny, so. But all in all, not too bad, so. I don't know. I probably should get back to work, too, at some point here. Most as long as things that I need to get done, and I'd rather chat on the radio, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, same here. I got out of the house and did a little bit of work in the car and threw out the call over here and one or two other repeaters on the GMRS side and not a whole lot of activity, but I'm getting some work done and then heard you testing it out and throw the call out there. So, yeah, I thought I'd give you a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you coming back and whatnot. So I'm going to have to take a look at this link that Dakota sent over and see how these things are all linked up, wired up, and such. But, yeah, I'm not too far away from the – this is the – I'm not sure which one it is, 443-65 or something like that, repeater over by Macomb County Jail. just an RF link from here over to there, and wherever it goes, it goes.
Yeah, I think I'm actually closer to the West Bloomfield one, but I always have better luck with the 2.6. It's got a good receive over there, and with the mobile radio, I think I'm at medium power. It's probably, I don't know what it is, 20 watts or so, but it seems to be doing the job.
Yeah. I think I've hit the FBI one a couple of times, the 2.6, I think, that you were mentioning. It's the first time I've been on this one. But, yeah, I know a couple of those guys around. Currently active president of USICA, which we've got. Actually, we just had our general membership meeting this past Monday. And now we're thinking about Winter Field Day and what we're going to do with that. So we're talking to Lance Cruz as well and seeing what they might want to do, if they want to join up and come up to our stuff, because I know that they're having issues with the place that they used to go to. And, you know, all in all, just like to play radio and have good fellowship around the ham radio community.
Yeah, it's good. It seems like you guys got a good group over there. You think, the time is the hardest thing for me. I want to get out and join in some of the meetings and stuff, but it's difficult with some young kids at home. But, yeah, I'll see what we can do and try to get out there some more. Winter Field Day will be fun. But, yeah, this has got a good group on this for Peter. And as far as the other ones go, I don't know. It's easier to relate to people I find on their system, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, real good. Yeah, I have time is definitely an issue on this side too. Daughter's in dance 24/7. Luckily, I've got a good support team over here with the wife and such. So she's, you know, I'll get her to dance, she'll bring her home and such. So it's not too big of a burden, but you know. Competition season's coming up, and we'll have to travel and all that stuff, so it's kind of hard to do radio things and such. And in the summertime, you know, we do the LARCs on the Wednesdays and such typically, and, well, I've got to work on Wednesdays, so I'm going to have to schedule some Wednesdays off this summer because I really missed out this past summer. And now with Walt's passing and such, WB80, not sure if you're familiar with him. A lot of people are. You know, last time I saw him was at our swap, and you know, finally was able to have some conversation with him that I hadn't had in months. So that was kind of nice. But yeah, sad passing with him.
No, I did hear that on the air. I had never met him personally. I may or may not have talked to him on the air. I'm not sure. I know not long before. For him, Don WA80 passed, and that was a big loss just for me. Just been in the radio game, I don't know, coming up on 2 years here now, and Don was always on the on the ham side and the GMRS side, and so yeah, it's sad to see some of the Elmers, the old timers go, but yeah, good. Still, we got the still good community here, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I saw some postings on online about Don's passing and such. But yeah, you're right. You know, the Elmers are starting to get up there, and I've been in it almost 20 years now, maybe a little bit longer than that or a little bit shorter, somewhere in there. I've only had my general ticket for 6 or 7 years now. But yeah, you know, Walt was my Elmer when I started with Useco a long time ago, and now with Chuck and 8 today, I'm not sure if you recognize that call and a couple of others that have been around, so, but yeah. Anyway, I should probably get back to work, just like Dakota, and yeah, I might have to listen to this and take a look at this and keep this one on the monitor a little bit longer while I, when I'm sitting here in the shack and such, so.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I got to get back to it here, too. So nice talking to you, and we'll catch you around next time. This is N1KRD. Again, name here is Nick, normally hailing from Southfield, Michigan. And I'll be clear.
Real good. We'll catch you down the log. We'll talk to you next time. KJEH.
N-A-K-P-P.
You did what?
He had no choice. Went to a gas station, and of course they had no bathroom. How does that happen?
I think they're fibbing. They're just hiding.
Me too. The door that says employees only. So, how's your day going, sir? N-A-K-P-P to W-A Franklin Uniform.
Well, I just dropped my son off at home. I was picking him up when I talked to you earlier. We ran down to an Army-Navy surplus place in Dearborn. Because they said they had something he was looking for in stock, and they did not. And so then we said, to hell with it. We drove all the way from Telegraph and Ford Road. We drove all the way up to Telegraph and M59 to Joe's Army-Navy Surplus, where they actually did have some of the jackets, but said they didn't. So Ford Road said they had them and didn't, and Joe's said they didn't and did. But unfortunately, they didn't have his size and color. They had one in his size, but it was the green one. He wanted the black one, and none in his size. So that was a good day just gabbing with him and running around. Then we went to a really nice, a really good, well-stocked liquor store and bought some, I got some wine I was looking for. But so not bad. I'm just heading home right now. Figure out what's going on at home, get some dinner maybe.
Well, I don't know about you, but it's always a good time when you get to spend it with your adult kids. So I got to go to Lansing this weekend for Sarah's, my daughter Sarah's. So it'll be my grandbaby, 2-year-old. So that's our agenda. I think a jumping jack place or a trampoline place or something like that. Something of which I will sit in the old people's chairs and watch all the kids jump up and down on the trampoline, because I don't think I should be doing that. I think I could probably break a part or a part could fall off, so I'm not going to chance it. I'm just going to watch, take pictures and smile and eat pizza and do whatever else we do at our age at trampoline type parks.
You mean you're not out there bouncing on the trampolines with the kids? Man. Yeah, no, I know. It's I've gone to a few of those. It's fun to watch the kids having fun, but yeah, it is. There ain't a lot for the big people to do.
Nah, the other grandchild, boy, we took them same place, and they had a lot of fun in that little, you know, the balls that they got that they're like the, they like swimming pools, but they're full of those plastic balls. That looks kind of fun. The kids like to go hide underneath them, so that's kind of cool. I would imagine it's probably germ fest underneath there with all of those balls, but hey, they're going to get sick anyway, so let them all get it over with early and go and take a swim in the balls.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know what they call that, but I know what you're talking about. A sea of balls. Anywho, so that's it for me. I just pulled up at home. I'm going to get inside and figure out what dinner plans are or whatnot. I'm off tomorrow, so I don't know what I'm going to do. My son was talking about maybe getting some breakfast or something like that, so that'll be good. But kind of no plans. We got a short week next week, 3 days. And I still got 3 days I got to take off before the first. So I know we work Monday, Thursday, Friday, the Christmas week, and the Monday before New Year's, so there's 4 days there. But if I don't take at least another one off next week, I'm going to have to take 3 of the 4 off. Tough problem to have. I know there's people out there going, cry me a river, first world problems. All right, I'm here. So after yours, I'm going to be signing here and getting out of the car. And KPPW8FU.
You could do some charity work and build us an All-Stars link for 7.2. But hey, that's just me. You have a great day, and I'm sure we will chat sometime this evening. And I think that net is on 7.2, so if you want to stick your head in there, 7 o'clock, we'll be there. So have a great time. Be safe. Eat safe. I'll chat later. N-A-K to Z.
W8FU from W8RCY. W8RCY, clear.
Hey, Don, I know he just got home. I was talking to him probably about 4 or 5 minutes ago and said he was in the driveway. So, just a little update for you.
Copy that. I heard your conversation. That's why I waited 5 minutes. I said, well, I'm not going to. I know he wants to get in the house, so that's why I waited 5 minutes. But, yeah, he's not, you know, on the radio yet or whatever. I'll probably catch him later if he's on the road for dinner. But thanks for popping in. W8RCY.
Okay. Have a good one. And AKPB. Good afternoon, Don. KF8CWF.
Good afternoon, Brian. How are things going? And how's that call sign feeling? It must be feeling pretty comfortable to be able to say that.
Yeah, it's coming a little easier the more I say it. Yeah, and I will definitely be there Saturday morning.
Yeah, I shall be there as well. I plan on it. The only one I might not make this month would be the one between Christmas and New Year's. I'm not sure yet where I'm going to be. Probably will be home because Joe's got to work. And because she's got end of the month and end of the year reports she has to do. She doesn't work on a fiscal year. She works on a calendar year. So, yeah, so I might make it. I might not. It just depends on where I end up that weekend. But I should be there this week and the following week.
Yeah, the rest of the year, I don't think they're going to work us through the holidays. And we don't start the holidays until the 23rd.
So the next Saturday I might end up working, I'm not sure. I won't know until Thursday before. But, yeah, this week I told him, yeah, I worked 7 days last week, and it's all a blur right now, so I'm taking the weekend off.
And play with your new radio that you programmed and the new frequencies you get to play with. So, you know, yeah, you know, you got all this stuff. You got to play with it. Get used to it. So that's, you know, got to do what you got to do, you know what I mean? I don't know, but yeah, I should be there with no problems. I got this the usual routine this weekend, so yeah.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing you. I just thought I'd give a shout because I heard you out there, and I get back to my little trip down Van Dyke and get what I got to get, and then get home and play with my radio. Sounds like a good idea.
Oh yeah, it's the best. It's the best suggestion I can put up with is, you know, play radio whenever you can. And I'm still getting used to all this. Plus, I'm still learning all the DMR stuff that I gotta get changed after the first of the year, and you know, figured out, mapped out, drawn out, everything else. Because I want to do it in one shot. You know, the programming done in one shot and get the node built in one shot. So, yeah. But it is what it is, and then I got racing, too. I got racing starting up in January. I'm going to spend 2 weekends down in Daytona and Sebring in March, stuff like that. So, yeah, I got that on my plate, but I'll talk about that later. All right, have a good afternoon. Be safe on the roads, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
Well, down in Florida in February, it's not too bad. All right, we'll talk to you later, and enjoy the rest of your day. KF8, DWF.
K8RUH, mobile.
DBF.
Hey man, did you get your new toy?
No, DHL wide. They said end of day today, and I just checked, and it's still in Romulus.
You know, get today.
I don't know if I've ever had a package come from DHL, so I don't know how they operate, but 517, I haven't gotten the Alpha delivery or departed, any of that stuff, so I'm assuming I'll get it tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah, same here. I don't really know how their tracking works, but I would guess if it's in Romulus, it's probably going to make it to your local, you know, post office to be on the truck for tomorrow. Yeah, that would be my guess. But again, like you said, I also have no experience with DHL. That's funny that was the route they, you know, what they chose. Usually DHL is for larger items.
The crazy thing is, I just looked at the tracking. It came from Tallman, Estonia, Monday or Tuesday. I think it departed Tuesday. And it's already stateside, so it's quick, whatever it is, to come all the way from across the pond like that.
Well, that's right. I forgot they're a European company. I wonder if they have some stock that they keep, you know, stateside. I would bet where the lion's share of their sales.
I was hoping that was going to be the case when I ordered it and I checked out and it was in euros. And then I got the tracking and I realized it was not going to be the case because it's coming from Estonia. I had to look it up. I didn't know where that was. I knew it was a country, but I didn't know where it was exactly in Europe.
Yeah, one of them former satellites, probably soon to be another, probably soon to be folded back into the old Soviet Union. It looks like that's the play over there.
A buddy of mine and I had that conversation the other day. We were looking at, we were just looking at the map of Europe and, like, the magnitude of Russia and China over there, and it's just, like, it's insane how small these countries are compared to what they're surrounded by.
Yeah, that's true. With China, absolutely, population-wise, they dwarf everybody else. And but as far as landmass goes, it's big, but the Gobi Desert is just ginormous. So there's a huge, huge, huge parts of it that are, I wouldn't say uninhabitable, but pretty sparsely populated. It is a big place, though. And Russia's the same way with the Siberia and the tundra and all that stuff. Far less population, though. I wonder what the population is. I never checked that. But, yep, they're the two big dogs over that way. And they've always traditionally hated each other, but who knows in this world we live in now.
It's unfortunate that they are the way they are, because I've been watching a bunch of, I don't know how or what I watch to get this YouTube algorithm pumping these things day in and day out, but I've been getting, like, these really cute Russian girl recommendations, like, touring, like, life in Russia, like, actual life in Russia, not how it's depicted on the news, and then, like, I watch these, like, they're not even in English, like, these guys that just go all over China and Japan and, like, the Koreas eating food, and the food looks phenomenal, and it's like, man, those places look so cool, but, like, you wouldn't catch me dead in one of them.
Oh, I'd love to go, but, you have to be very careful about which ones and where and when and all that stuff. So, but there's plenty of places that have all that without being risky. I don't think Russia is really risky. Well, right now, I don't know. I don't think it's very risky, even now. But even China, I don't think so risky. I wouldn't have any reservations. But I won't fly. For me, that's the risk.
If I wasn't married with kids, I don't think I'd hesitate to go to Russia at all. Right now, tensions are a little high. I don't know. I don't see nuclear war kicking off anytime soon. I know that's what the media wants us to think, but I would definitely go. I think it's a sweet country, especially like the Russian countryside, and then you got the opposite end of like Moscow and all that. So. But probably not in this lifetime. And when you said that the other day, I forgot who you were talking to. I heard you on the air. And you said you've never flown, and that blew my mind.
Yep. Yes, I've never been on a plane. I think I had mentioned that. I've never even been on one, even just set foot on one. And I think, like I was saying in that conversation, if it's the same conversation I'm thinking, it's the last time I talked about it. But I've been on a few helicopters, more than a few. And, and they always say, come on, let's take it up. I'm like, nope, sorry, nope. But, managed to get this far without. And I think, if I could finish out the ride without ever being on one, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it was, I think it was 2 days ago, you were talking to that gentleman from out of town. I think he's from Tennessee or something. Pretty sure I picked that up when you guys were talking. I don't blame you at all. I'm not a big fan of flying. It doesn't bother me, but it's definitely not my first choice. I kind of just don't like being confined in one spot and not being able to move. Like yesterday, I was going to get my hair cut, and the guys changing the parking lot lights decided to block off the entire row where I was parked, and I'm like, dude, you gotta move, I gotta get out. And there was a pond behind me, like, those are the things where, like, I just don't like not being able to move. So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. I keep telling myself what I should do is I should get one of these, you know, I don't want to get on a, you know, on a little pole jumper between two small airports, you know, because it's quick or fast or easy, you know, because that might give me, sour me on the whole thing. And, you know, for no reason, you know, I know that they run, you know, they run full, you know, planes into Toronto and into Chicago. I was thinking about, I could do one of two things. I could either, you know, Amtrak to Chicago and then just catch one of them flights back, or do the same Toronto and, cause, you know, enjoy the Amtrak train on the way out and then just fly back. And then that way I'm on a legit aircraft, you know, full blown, you know, jet. It's a quick nonstop up and down in, you know, what is it, 45 minutes? I don't know, it's not much. And so if I completely crawling out of my skin, at least it'll be, you know, I mean, if it's as bad as I anticipate it's going to be, doesn't matter. You know, every 10 minutes will seem like an eternity, but at least that would be quick and I can find out. But I'm thinking just suck it up, buttercup, get up there, and it probably won't be as bad as I think. Usually when you're sitting there thinking about stuff, it's worse than when you actually do it. When you actually do it, you realize, oh, this ain't no big deal. But sitting thinking about it, staring at the ceiling at night, yeah, that starts playing mind tricks.
At ADF, the only thing that really is uneasy, I guess, a little unsettling, is the initial takeoff, like right when you feel the wheels leave the ground, and then you're like, man, this thing's gigantic and really heavy. Is it going to fall out of the sky? And then you level out and you're at cruising altitude and it's all water from there. It's not bad. I would not advise getting in a small plane. Those suck. But if you're getting in like a 737 Airbus or bigger, you're fine. You'll be totally comfortable.
K8RUH.
Take it away, Anthony.
Just hopped back in the car, heard you gentlemen chatting, and somebody's flying somewhere. I'm excited for you. It sounds like somebody might not be excited, though. Sean, are you not much of a flyer?
I never have, which is what we were just talking about. Never have I ever. And I don't want to. The whole concept creeps me out. And if I don't ever have to, I won't have lost a minute's sleep over it.
It's one of those things, if you've made it this far without it, and you don't have to, and there's nowhere in the world where you're like, I have to go see that in this lifetime, there's really no need. I don't see a need. I don't like traveling, personally. Like, I said I want to go to Russia, and I would love to see, you know, places like that. I would love to go to Japan, but, like, I'd have to be able to teleport there. That's the only way I would do it. I have no interest in the whole, I got to travel forever to get there.
BE3CCI, I think it was. Go ahead and pick it up and then hand it to Anthony. My name is Sean. Go ahead.
Yep. Victor Echo 3, Charlie, India. My name is Brad. Bravo Romeo Alpha Delta. I'm located in Windsor, Ontario. I'm trying to build a homemade guide pole. I live in a group home situation, and my room is about 10 by 10. So I'm trying to put like 16 foot by 2 inches and wires and coax and all that stuff. So is it easy to do or not really, because I'm a white painter, so yeah.
Hey guys, unfortunately I don't have comments for this gentleman, and I will be out of the car for the next go-around, so I'll throw it over to Dakota. But I do agree with Dakota in that, Sean, if you haven't done it and don't need to, why do it now? But I don't mind flying. I'd rather drive. And I try to take at least one trip via airplane a year. Otherwise, I feel like I could totally convince myself to never do it again. So, over to you, Dakota.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to Sean. I'm not much of an antenna expert. I've dabbled with some NFETs and some verticals, and that's about the extent of it. I've never set up a dipole. I bought the little BNC banana plug connector thing to make one. I never got around to it. So, Sean, I'll see if you can answer that question.
Okay, well, I caught, you know, it seems like you have some impediments to getting, you know, whether it be your living situation or physical capabilities, but there's something that's going to, you know, be a factor. So I'd like to know more about that. Also, when you say a dipole, for what band? That's going to be important too. You know, what are you trying to work? You know, VHF, UHF, HF. Typically when we say dipole, we think HF. Multi-bands, one band in particular. And then what's your living conditions? Because I'm getting a feeling you're in a, you know, I think you said something about being in a, you know, in some sort of a situation. So that's going to play a lot into what you can do. So a lot of questions there. You know, first and foremost, what band are you looking to build one for? And mostly what's your living situation as far as what you can put outside of the home? That's going to be probably the two starting questions I would have.
Yes, Victor Echo 3, Charlie, India. I'm going to work 10 meters. Yeah, it's 10 meters, and my group home situation, I can only put stuff in my room. I can't put anything outside. My, you know, manager won't let me because I got a 10 by 10 room on the second floor. We have a basement downstairs, but that's, yeah. I'm very limited. I can only, you know, do so much, and my room is my shack, so, yeah, V3CCI.
Yeah, so that adds a real, anytime you dip below, really below 2 meter, you know, you start to, I mean, 6 is right on the cusp of doable, but even there, you know, it says, any, you get under 2 meter, you know, VHF, you're starting to have quite a bit of challenge with what you're describing. Now, sometimes, you know, if you're on a second floor, is there a balcony with a rail? You know, that would be one way. You might be able to clamp something to a rail, like if you get a base-loaded, you know, whip, like something you would see on a car, you might be able to clamp it to, like, a railing, and that would work. But, again, it's outside. But anything you're going to do inside the room is probably going to be really tough. I don't even know what I would suggest for 10-meter inside of a dwelling. I have no experience with that. It's going to be tricky. Of course, when, you know, you don't need a lot when 10 is rocking, and it's been rocking. So, you know, you could probably get away with, you know, not much, but you almost have to, is there any way you can get anything out the window? You know, you could do some stuff that's pretty stealthy. You know, with 10 meter, you're talking 8 foot for a quarter wave, you know, a dipole would be twice that, you know, so we're talking like 16-ish. And, you know, if you made it out of, you know, fine enough wire, you know, could you just throw it out the window, you know, while you're putzing? You said you're on a second floor, so what is that? I don't even know. What's that, about 10 to 12 foot off the ground plus the height of it? So you, yeah, you know, so I, again, something completely inside, boy, that's going to be rough. You know, so, yeah, it's not much help for you there. Dakota, you got any thoughts on the whole matter?
The only other thing I was thinking of, and it's itchy, and it's not great, and it's finicky, the Comet toy box antenna, you'll probably be able to receive pretty decent inside of that, but it's rough to transmit with, too. Even outside, I had one of my Icon 705, and it was cool. I was able to get into Ireland on 5 watts with it from my tailgate, but that may have been more of a fluke than, you know, the antenna and the gear working like it's supposed to. I mean, that's when things was on 10 meters. But that's when 10 meters was on fire. So, I don't know. I guess, what kind of radio are you running? What are you trying to do? Are you doing CW? Are you trying to do voice? You know, like Sean said, it's not going to be easy to do it inside, but if you're trying to get out with, if you're just trying to monitor, you might be okay. If you're just trying to do CW, you might be okay. But voice on an inside setup is going to be rough.
Oh, okay. I'm on the main floor, typically. The basement is downstairs, so it's the main floor, usually. Yeah. So, I'm trying to look, yeah, voice for 10 meters, I'm looking at V3CCI.
Well, I'll just say probably the best thing you could do is try to find some local, you know, of course, we're over here this side of the river, so, you know, it's, I haven't been over to your side of the river in quite some time. I do mean to get over there at some point because there's a restaurant I want to go to downtown. But try to find, reach out to maybe some of the clubs in the Windsor area there. Maybe you could find somebody there that can come, you know, maybe eyeball. It'd be a lot easier if somebody that had a little experience just kind of come take a look and say, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to do anything. Or, you know what, if we did this, I mean, I've heard of people doing things like they could load up a gutter, you know, but that starts to get in the, you know, you're going to have to get a tuner and somebody'd have to look at it that's knowledgeable to see if it's even feasible. You got a challenge there, that's for sure. So, but it is getting near dinner time here. I do have to discuss what's going on. I just really jumped in here. I was going to jump out. And listen, Eric, hey, Eric, I dare you to do that again. I'll brick your radio. I'll thread your radio. Look at that. He got me, and he doesn't even acknowledge. All right. So, anyhow, I was going to get out of here right when we were finishing up the other conversation, but I figured I'd stick around in here and see if I could help you out. So good luck with that. See if you can find somebody local that can come, you know, maybe eyeball your situation. With that, I'm going to get clear and go see what Mama wants to do for dinner. Dakota, after yours, W8FU.
Yep, I'm getting close to getting out of the vehicle here as well, so I'm sure I'll talk to you soon, possibly on the node. You know, that's another thing. I believe it's PE3CCI. Yeah, you get yourself a FT70 or a DMR radio or a D-Star radio on a hotspot or an open spot. If you get an OpenSpot 4 Pro, you can talk all over the world on any digital mode. And all you need is an internet connection and an HD. So that might be something to look into as well if you're trying to play radio indoors. There's things out there, but I understand. I'm a big RF guy. I would much rather be, you know, using a radio and an antenna and getting out over the air rather than the internet. But good luck. Like Sean said, get in touch with some clubs in the area that might be able to offer some better advice if they're able to see your setup. I will be clear after yours. This is NHDDF.
Yep, 7-3 there. I'll find out some more information from some my local club here. V3CCI.
And let me just confirm what Dakota just said there. A node either a digital or an analog node, but mostly a digital node. They're relatively cheap, and you get yourself a cheap, like get an MD380. You know, those you can get those cheap as dirt in a little MMDVM hotspot, and it really opens up the world to you. And you don't need nothing but an internet connection. If you got Wi-Fi, I'm sure you do, you can connect that thing up, and you can be talking all over the darn place. And, you know, so that's really been a game changer for a lot of people that have serious limitations either in their, you know, what they can do, where they live, what they're allowed to do. So that is a great suggestion. We were really focusing on 10-meter, you know, HF operation, which is going to be a real tough nut, but that's your real solution for a lot, tons of fun they have there. All right, got to get out of here now. Good suggestion, Dakota. Catch you guys later. W8FU.
KE8TFM.
Can't pay any well. Monitor.
KE8ONM testing.